Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Center for Christian Music Studies at Baylor University. This podcast was recorded at the 2011 Alleluia Conference. In this session titled, Are Handbell Choirs Relevant in Today's Church Music?, Mary Kay Parrish will present new creative ways to bring freshness, vitality, and the unexpected into our weekly worship. To learn more about the Alleluia Conference, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we did. And never again.
Just too long.
We have to work on it, huh?
He was very cute.
Well, there's no volume.
He has no volume control.
We had a funeral, a former president's wife at our university died, and her grandson played bagpipes. He was in a bagpipe in Houston. Supposed to be very good. It was January, and it was so cold. It was just freezing. And he got his bagpipes out ready to do it, and
with composer permission, we've added our bell piece to scripture reading.
Uh-huh.
Especially if a section repeats and repeats, like one of the adults pieces.
Uh-huh.
We used it with the scripture reading, that works nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. I think people don't think of that. You can have a verse of scripture and you just have little tinkling bells or something. But then you can also use a piece, portions of the piece here. Okay? What else have you used or would like to use?
I have a question for organists. Sometimes I find bells and organ intonation-wise, it's a little tricky. Does anybody have any suggestions about that? Like just keeping it to 8-4 or on the organ?
Well, we certainly wouldn't want to do the partials. Whatever those things are called, or something. Huh? Yeah. But it's likely that the organ. So that would be the time of
the year. It's cold.
Cold, yeah. And it depends on whether you can keep your building at the same temperature. It's hard. It's hard. Yeah. We did a concert in Concord, New Hampshire, and could not play with the organ at all. And it was summertime. It's so bad out of tune that it was not fall. I kept saying, it's not us. Okay, we did one where we had video. You know, sometimes a bell is just playing and people aren't, I think it's visually great, but some people just don't get that. So you could put video up there. Maybe patriotic, you play arrangement of Oh Beautiful, or Spacious Skies, and then have pictures, photographs, and maybe some people in your group would have, and play those while you're, to match up with the phrases of the piece. That's
the song Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid. We did that.
Yeah.
It actually kind of went, I think, pretty close to the dancing. I don't know. It was cute though.
We do crazy things at Pops.
At what?
Pops concert.
Oh, Pops. Yeah.
So, yeah. Fun
worship. Well, this is really talking about worship.
Yeah, I know. It's traditional worship. So.
Just worship. Well, it could be any kind of worship, of course. But some other things that I listed were descants. And we're going to play descants. You can use descants that are written as a supplement to your hymnals, or you can write your own, or you can take the tenor line, double it at the octave. I have one of those, and so that's some way that you can quickly do that. There's also a book that you might want to look at. If only I could find it. Use of handheld and worship. Mm-hmm. Love stuff. Mostly, and you can copy any of them. You just have to buy one copy, so you can copy, give your permission to copy of all of these. So lots of different ideas that might work in your particular church. So these are supposed to be in the bookstore. You're welcome to look at mine while you're here. Just leave it with me. Background music for the scripture reading, in addition to punctuating it, you could also just have something going on behind it. Communion services, different things you can play for that. Hymn intros, instead of having the organ do the intro, and those could be your intro. Transitions, you have supplements to your organist and pianist, your supplements to your hymns for the organist and pianist. There are lots of transitions, introductions, and so forth. So that might be, modulations for a new key and so forth. You might do those on handbill. Ethnic flavors and variety. variety of handbell techniques, so that we're not always just ringing. So that's the what. When. When in the service. It's a prelude, okay? What else happens between the prelude and the next thing in your churches? What other ways, what other spots in the church could you do it? I'm sorry?
Call to worship.
Call to worship, okay. What do you use for call to worship? Pieces?
Yeah.
Pieces, okay.
But we've also, what we have done yet, we're looking at doing some, maybe some processional type stuff.
Okay, we're going to look at some in a minute. Processionals. But when you say call to worship, what you might do is do just a portion of an anthem you're going to do next week, or just a portion of something you haven't quite got learned yet. And, make it more familiar to it, especially if it's a piece that's not him connected, not something that they would recognize. Okay. Boy, baby dedication, meditation time, baptism. You could make a sermon out of it. Have you ever, you've seen people who do sermons and use the different scripture passages to demonstrate on the bells how that works. Children's sermon, Tammy Waldrop has all these things that she's written for children's stories, and the children can play them, or adults can play them. Offertory, communion, can accompany anthems. There are a lot of pieces now that are coming out with an anthem as accompaniment, and you could then be the anthem for the day. Instead of having a choral anthem, you could have the bell party. Benedictions, we can look at all of those. Okay, and then seasons of the year, special emphasis, we talked about that in another session. Thanksgiving, Advent, Holy Week, Easter, Patriotic, New Year, and Reformation. Okay, any others that you think of?
All Saints, we all did totally end up.
Mm-hmm. Good, that's another one I should have written out.
We played the wedding.
Played the wedding? Yeah, we played for lots of weddings. And that's good, and we play a number of jingles. People in our church who enjoy the bells, they want that for their family members.
It works well on Good Friday. You play a hard clapper or
Or
chimes. Yeah, the song for chime.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's changing the instrument to make it different, make it fresh, make it something that they haven't heard before, something that would catch their attention and cause them to focus on what it is you're using that day. Okay. Where do you usually play? Where is your spot that you play?
Platform.
On the platform. Okay, in front of the cabinet, in front of the choir?
Yeah.
In front of the rail?
Oh, we don't have a rail.
You don't have a rail, okay.
Balcony.
Balcony? We play in the balcony occasionally, especially for funerals and weddings, we play in the balcony.
Our choir is in the balcony. So.
Your choir?
The choir loft is in the back.
In the back.
Behind.
What church is it?
First Christian.
Uh huh.
Disciples Church.
And the.
The organ's in the back. Choir's in the
all
back.
All of that's in the back.
We're all in the back.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I wonder if people who were in the choir, these people who don't really have, that really aren't committed to choir, I've often wondered if we were to move to the balcony, would they still come?
My choir knows, but then they leave during the sermon, so they love it.
Some of them.
They do
no
what? So
they sleep
during the sermon?
They
sneak out.
They sneak out before the sermon, some of them.
Well, I think that's all right if they've already been to it.
So they can come and go without being seen.
Yeah.
One thing I've done is we have a two-story atrium with an overlook, and sometimes I've used my children, you know, at Christmas when you're not quite ready for prime time yet. I'll let them play like before the Sunday school hour or between Sunday school and worship. It's kind of a festive atmosphere, you know, as people are coming into the building.
Have you seen Nancy Cavill's choir that plays Boom Whackers. I heard her play a concert not long ago, and they came down and just stood in the aisles, and they had these boom whackers in their hands, and all of a sudden they went, I mean, it was amazing. It was a beautiful sound. It was really crashing, exciting. I don't know what the piece was, but on Boomer.
We have an awesome facility now. We haven't always. So before we had the awesome facility that we had now, we even, there was one time when I was recruiting and I put four ringers at the coffee pot, we had done that song. And they ran quartets that they could ring without any bell changes to try to recruit. And now we've used our foyer also for one of the groups that's not comfortable performing within the service. But as the services are changing out, I prep them on three pieces and we just do them over and over, like, kind of like dinner music, only it's changing time music. They haven't figured out that they're actually playing a lot longer and more than the groups that do in the church. But it's more relaxed, you know, people aren't staring at them.
Yeah, now you have to know about Carla's handbook program. Just describe what you have. It's not what most people have.
We have eight groups. So we start in third grade, and Sherry does the children entry level. She's now part of on the staff, and she does the third through fifth grade group. And then we have two middle school groups. Trisha does the high school group. And then we have two 5-octave groups and a third group that meets in the mornings and then rookie classes and duet ensemble.
The logistics of programming all this.
That's why we do big concerts.
Okay.
Because there aren't enough, you know, because there's so much prep time at the beginning that there's only that small part of the year where we can, so we do a big concert at Christmas and a big concert at the end of the year. That's a big one.
And we have recitals for the children.
And the children
fall
and the
fall
summer.
And the spring recital. So.
Okay, I just, most of us do not have all that, so I want you to know how much she doesn't sleep. Okay, so. We've had balcony and atrium and front processionals. Do you do processionals?
Youth love to do processionals.
I went to Haiti last summer before last and taught down there, and I was having them to do a processional, and I thought, man, I mean, they couldn't read music at all. They the rhythm was good, but they couldn't. And so we had to memorize it, learn it by rote and memorize it. And so we did, and I thought, now we've got to teach them how to process with that.
How to walk.
Yeah, how to walk and play at the same time. They started out, nobody ever missed a beat. That's what they had. They could do it. Oh, yeah. I never had to say a word to them. I just told them I wanted to walk in time to the music. Play all the parts. It was amazing.
Adults are much harder.
Oh, yeah.
Much harder.
But if you're going to do it, you really need to learn the music first. Get it so that it's just second nature to them, okay? And then they can walk into it. And then you have walking place for all of them while they watch the music or while they have to cheat on or whatever. Okay, let me see other places. Ringers randomly placed among the congregants.
We spread them out sometimes in the aisle. And just do random ringing as part of a hymn or something.
Good, that's it. And around the sanctuary, you can do that. That's a little harder, you have to be very secure in order to do that.
You know, Kathy Evelyn Thorne told me once that, you know, most people, even if they can't play bells, they kind of like them. But every once in a while, we run into somebody that really hates bells.
Oh, yeah.
And so they did some kind of pentatonic something, and she went to that man and put a bell on his and just told him to ring whenever, and then he didn't complain anymore. So he'd actually run.
Yeah, that's good.
We did, we had to do, we're the front and center group. We're thankful because we now have too much equipment to be anywhere else. But we've also been in the back, behind the last pew, which it's a little bit in the dark, we have lights, but the point of that is that when we play there, the last half of the congregation gets to hear us really well, whereas we're in front, the back half has to go. So, you know, it's kind of a nice thing to do now.
What they miss out on with the balcony in here is the visual, which I think is good. I mean, I think it's good to be able to see.
I heard what my pastor actually thinks it's distracting to worship. What would you say to that?
Ouch.
Ouch.
It's not a big handbell.
Give him a handbell.
Right.
I've run into several pastors who don't like the equipment down in there, in the way.
He doesn't like all the movement.
Well, I had a woman that once told me she was never coming to my concerts again, and I said, well, I'm so sorry, what happened? And she said, it just wears me out.
They get nervous for
the
athletic aspect of things, maybe.
Well, most people I know that really don't like handbells aren't able to hear them, no. And they want something familiar, and even if it says it's familiar, it's Amazing Grace, they can't hear that. And our fault, they don't bring out the melodies of them, and so then they don't love it. It's like a barbershop quartet. If you don't bring out the melody in that barbershop quartet, they don't know what you're singing.
So does he not even want lyrics? Lyric pieces? Slower pieces?
Mm-hmm. He doesn't like watching at all. Now, we're in the balcony, so that solves that problem. But
I just can't imagine.
Every once in a while, we have someone in the front. We have one woman who can play. She's a solo ringer, and he told me not to do that. She doesn't like singing or not.
We have sort of just the opposite. Our choir every year goes and does a prison trip where we sing a bunch of prisons over, and we take our handbells, and the inmates go nuts.
They do.
I mean, you can do the most classical piece you've ever thought of, and they just go nuts. They just love watching and seeing, especially when the bass battles have a lot of love.
I have a great prison story. We went and we were, waiting for them. They had to go through every bell, take every bell out of the case.
Yeah.
And the guy that was doing it was real careful with them, and picked them up by the handle. And then he had to go, and they sent two other guys to him. Well, the first guy comes and does this, and when he does, we all went, and he had bare hands, and so I'm sure he thought, oh, we found it. But anyway, we got in there, and the way we had the tables, the prisoners had to go behind us to go to the restroom. And so all the time we were practicing and during the concert, they would occasionally walk by. Well, this girl on the CD4, she was scared to death, she just wasn't watching it, nerve-wracking kind of thing anyway. But she did her bell like this, and she did, the handle broke clear through, and the bell went bong, 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 bong on the concrete. And she was just a nervous wreck. This guy got up in the back and he said, hey, don't worry about that. Everybody in here has had trouble keeping a handle on things. Okay, we're not going to get to do some of this if we don't get going. Okay, so I think we've got most all of that. Now, and then we've already talked about why we do this. Why we do this, I think we've already, to praise God with yet another medium, and to help enhance the worship experience for the participants and the listeners, and to provide freshness and variety. Okay. Now, how do we go about this? I mean, what does it take to make handbells relevant in the worship service?
Handbell ringers.
Handbell ringers, yeah.
We have
so suppose we've got a good group, and they're very consistent and so forth. But what does it take? Big deal with you. Long-range planning. You've got to work with the minister.
The worship design team has to be a team.
That's right. You have got to have a group that does it. You can't. And when Randall Bradley was our minister of music, we had once a month, we had all the music people, all the choir directors, all the pianists and organists and all the instrumentalists met together and decided who was going to participate in the worship service with their group all through the whole season. Mm-hmm. And you just have to do that because you can't plan, you can't pick up a handbell piece and play it next week.
And you work for months on a Pentecost piece and then it doesn't fit into the, you're not fit into the service that day.
So you really have to know. You have to know what they're planning for that service, what everyone else is doing, or you can suggest, this is what I have, where will that fit in with what you have in your list of things to do. So, okay, now,
I'm gonna pass these out just for you to keep. I don't want to pass, it's just one page there. And then you already got, did you get the music? Okay. Let's think through with this. So let's do some music. So get some gloves if you need them over there and all around. These are holes in the bottom.
Are we done with this music?
We're just, yeah, that, have that. Just have that ready, and then I have some other things we're gonna use too. What's my deadline?
3:30.
3:30?
3:30.
3:30. Okay. All right, so would you, when you have this set of music things, are any of those left?
Yeah, there's some over here.
Here, I've got one. I've got one. No, this one doesn't have another one. Does yours have another one? No. Oh, the first one is numbered.
No, I think.
Okay, here we go. Would you look at number 11?
Sure.
Here's something you might do. These are things you might do. Now, let me apologize for you. Let me apologize for using a lot of my own music, because it's just, you have this? It was just easy for me to grab some stuff that I already have on hand, and I wrote some things just for this. So you're welcome to use anything that's on here, and then the other stuff I brought, some of mine and some of others, but I'm not trying to push myself on these. Okay, here's a possibility for chiming of the hour. So would you look at number 11, and let's just play that. I could have just put a fermata over that last note instead of doing 5/4, but I thought it'd be good this way. Okay? It's a 6:00 service. And this, how many ever do you need, okay? So that's a possibility you might do, and just, not every week, but occasionally that would work. Okay, the next thing is, we're gonna do some processionals. First one is get the pitches for F, G, A, C, D. Everybody, whatever bell you have that fits that. Okay? And you get a random ring. Do you know the Heimerdahl tune?
Come how long expected.
Come on, Christians, be committed.
Or come how long expected.
Yes, that's one. We use it as a processional with come all Christians be committed to the service of the Lord. It's a different text, but it worked for the beginning of the service. Okay, so random ring. No, that's not the first one. The one I'm thinking of is.
Beach spring.
Beach spring, okay. No, I'm sorry. I knew that it wasn't working. Okay, here we go. Again. Just shake it.
Oh, Christ.
not like you have to memorize anything. You just have to walk and play. And sometimes people go. Yeah. Okay, that's an easy one. And a good start, because they don't have to memorize. Now, the next one I want to do is, this is the debut of Bob Evans. Singers. What? Don't look at the whatever your bells are for this. But you can still get this if you need it. I can give you that. Okay, here we go. And we did this a lot of times around the room. Ready? Go. Okay, one, and with simple open chords like that, that might match a piece of music. We'd use that as a processional. Not much to memorize. Okay, and the next one is 5.
Amala Page has some out too, they're really nice, and Sandra Tucker.
Okay.
They've got some. Not quite as simple, but they're really nice.
Yeah. Okay, here's one that I just threw together, and let's add something each time, okay? So, I just did 4 phrases of it here, but you could work it. So we need an E flat below E flat, okay? And then we need E flat D, oh, I'm in the wrong key. E flat D, C, B flat, we got E flat?
E flat,
yes. E flat, D, and then we need your other, we need a C, a D. Huh?
I've got
C.
No, I've got the B part.
Okay, all right, here we go. First of all, let's just do the bong with these two.
The quarter notes?
The quarter notes and then going down in the bass play. 2, ready, go. Okay, now add the next time, add the 8th notes in the bass play. Yeah, whatever's there. If you're not, if you don't have anything, you might go up and and help a lot. I just assumed we would have somebody at every position. We had a big bunch this morning, but do we have everything covered? Well, we'll see when we can do. Okay, so here's the E clap. Y'all can see. 1, 2.
Oh, worship the King, oh, worship the King, and faithful is He, is wonderful God, and fear and dependent creation of His, the world is wonderful and
okay, so anybody can do that, right? Respond to him you like, take the tenor voice, put it up. Sometimes the alto is more moving, but usually the alto is just on the same note all the way. Okay, now look at whatever I said before. About four. Okay. This is one I just wrote not too long ago. So, at Easter time. So, basically, the first two measures of each phrase, you're singing, you're doing the melody, and then you have a little bit of scat for the second two measures. So, what we're playing is the top line. And I need E natural. Okay, here we go.
The top staff.
Hmm?
The top staff.
So it's not us.
Yeah, okay. No, just the top staff. Okay. Right. You can sing the bass part if you like. All right, here we go. 2, ready, go.
Thank you.
lots of benedictions written. Sometimes we use prayer responses, and we just play right out of the hymnal. Almighty Father, hear our prayer. As a prayer response. Okay.
When you're using a group to do something like a benediction, do you just sit behind the titles during the whole service and I just...
When they're going to do the benediction, usually when we do the benediction, we're playing in the church somewhere else. Anyway.
And they're just sitting behind the tables when they're not playing?
No, actually, we have a small church, and they're in the choir a lot of them. And so we had to come and go.
Yeah, come and go.
Your preacher would really think that was some of them weren't in the choir, and they'd sit down, we just all meet there. Usually, we plan the service so that there was a prayer or there was some way for them to be distracted from our council. Our organist was also in the group, so we had to plan it so she was through and could help with the bells. Okay. Any other things y'all want to add? Did we do them all? Oh, we didn't do Here I Am to Worship. Let's do the very first one. Since this is a song, this was a way that we might incorporate it into the praise and worship services, Carla. Because it would be a song that they knew, not that it would be a style that they knew, but it would be something that they would be familiar with. They'd say, oh, well, that could be done in handbells as well.
But our contemporary service isn't really praise and worship, it's rock. So the praise and worship service is actually a blended service that would use something like this. Mm-hmm.
Applicable there. Okay.
Just different.
All right. And you notice these are just added couple chords. They're just the triad with the added second, most of them. And then we just figured out something. Here we go. Ready?
Thank you again for listening to this podcast. To learn more about the Alleluia Conference, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.